It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the podcast, and today we've got Matthew Warrath. Now, Matthew is the owner of Beyond Macros. They're a online nutritional coaching company, and he spent the last few years building a very successful company with multiple staff, and now he helps specifically nutritionists take their businesses online and sell their online nutritional offerings. So he's got a wealth of experience, which he's going to share with us today. We're going to dive into really how he set up his business with his coaches and what he does now and some of the steps to getting your first five online nutritional clients. And this is going to be very applicable to anyone, in fact, in the online space. Now, you'll have to excuse me because I'm a little bit run down when we recorded this podcast, so I'm not too sharp on the questioning, so bear with me, but I hope you enjoy the show. I'd be interested to know, and I'm sure the listeners would too, how you got into creating your company Beyond Macros. Where did that kind of idea start for you, or what was the catalyst to start your company?
Yeah, so the catalyst for this company, I started Beyond Macros after I personally had a waitlist nutrition coaching practice. And so I, at that point, recognized people don't really want to wait around to reach their fat loss goals in particular. They usually think, I want to lose fat. I want to do it now. I've got the motivation. So even though I had a waitlist, it wasn't really feeding clients down the road. And I thought, okay, instead of putting people on a waitlist and having them go and find another option, how about I start hiring and training coaches to actually start taking on the clients on my waitlist so that I can still offer these people who are coming to me wanting to lose weight right now the option to work with someone who is an expert coach and is going to get them to their goals. So for me, there was a long process leading up to the point of being able to create a waitlist nutrition coaching practice. But the big catalyst for me was just seeing that I had a waitlist that wasn't necessarily feeding into my client list. And I knew I had a repeatable system. People were getting great results. I was having very good retention for a nutrition coaching program, and I knew I could teach other people how to do it. So I just identified a few people who I thought would be great coaches. Hired them, trained them up, and brought them on board. And yeah, really just focused on continuing to get great results for clients and also really putting a big focus on figuring out how to get in front of the right clients and make sure that all of, at the beginning, it was three of us, that all three of us had a wait list. The thing is with nutrition coaching, the offering that really started to set me apart, when I first started out, it was, I was running that model almost like personal training where it was like, come in for a session, you know, maybe once a week, once a month, it's a certain amount per hour. And that model really didn't work because ultimately with nutrition coaching, it's a lot about habit changes. It's a lot about staying on top of the changes people are making. They need that pretty regular feedback. So I recognized that instead of doing the per session model, what I ended up doing was just doing a recurring monthly model that gave people unlimited access to me for questions that they might have and just this ongoing rapport. We had monthly face-to-face meetings, whether that was in person or online for my online clients. It also meant we had some formal check-ins where I was looking at their food journals and giving some feedback based off what I was seeing, getting some check-in data from them on a check-in sheet, analyzing that, cross-referencing it to their food journal, and really just providing a really high-touch VIP experience. And I charged appropriately for that. And because it was such a high-touch VIP experience, there were only so many clients I could take on and still be able to provide that experience where every client felt like my only client, because I really believed that just because I was taking on a lot of clients, it shouldn't mean that the quality of service I was offering to my existing clients should drop, because they were paying a premium and they deserved my best in every single interaction. So what I did was I recognized as soon as I started hitting about 40 clients, that's when I saw that my stress levels went up, because I wanted my quality of coaching to stay really, really high. And that's when it started to become a really just everyday grind between client acquisition and making sure that clients felt like they were being served to the best of my ability. So at that point, I just put a wait list up. I said, listen, I can't go above 40 clients. I did go to about 50 at one point, and I just kind of let it unravel down to 40 and just kept a consistent 40 client roster.
Yeah, makes total sense. What was the transition then like for you? Was it a smooth transition to doing it a different way and servicing all these clients online? Or did you face some roadblocks or challenges in any part of growing that element to the business?
Yeah, the biggest challenges came as I scaled client loads. And whenever I'm mentoring coaches, I always notice that the first five clients, they tend to, because that's the first five clients, they tend to really just check in every single day. It's like as if they're refreshing their emails, trying to see if anybody's scheduling a strategy call. It's like they're really staying on top of those five clients, and the systems that they have in place don't scale to 10 clients, for example. So I personally found when I switched to online that the systems I'd created, after about 10 clients, they started to fall apart a little bit. So then it was just a little bit of refining and tweaking and making sure that now that I have 15, 20 clients, all of a sudden the systems for staying organized are running smoothly. It was at that point when I hit around 20 clients that I started using a CRM, so a customer relationship management software that integrates with Gmail. So it really allowed me to stay on top of when I needed to follow up with people, keeping all of their information at a glance. It really saved me from having like super long email threads that I had to search through for files and whatnot. So I was just constantly in this refining practice where as I was growing my client roster, I was recognizing, okay, there's these challenges that I have and how do I solve them? So it was really this refining process. And I found going from 5 to like 10 to 15 clients was a big hurdle and a big stress test for my systems. Getting up to 20, 25 clients was kind of the next level that stress tested where I was at. And today I was actually telling a coach who was looking into getting a tracking app or a tracking software for their business that honestly, it didn't even make sense for me to do that because what's available with some free or low-cost tools can really scale up to about 30 clients. And then that's usually the point where that's where I had to actually work with a developer to have more of a custom solution.
Okay, cool. So in terms of like the systems, obviously, we're big advocates of systems. We love the whole automation and CRMs and using systems to really leverage the business and grow and scale it. What would you say has been kind of one of the most integral systems that you've used in growing your business? What do you lean on the most that's most important to you think?
Yeah, so for me, it's unique in the sense that I had to put systems in place to be able to manage coaches who were working for me. And make sure that I could stay on top of their payroll and stay on top of if they had a question for their client, being able to just jump in on my end and see what was going on. But when it came to my individual practice, I really found that the CRM was the most important thing because I was able to set follow-up reminders. I was able to keep all of the information about a client at a glance. And so when I was checking in on them, I had a lot more context for that check-in. So I wasn't just shooting from the hip. So for me, it really started with a CRM. And I feel like once you hit about 15 to 20 clients, if you're providing a little bit more of that high touch service, that it's an integral part of the system. And then as I continued to scale, I definitely find that setting up automations through Zapier was, or Zapier since it's Zaps, that was huge for me. I actually usually will get coaches familiar with Zapier by just having them set up an automation that automates onboarding. So essentially I'll have them set up a trigger where if, for example, the first step is for a client to fill out an intake questionnaire, then you can set up a Zap where that's the trigger. And then you can use all that information from the intake questionnaire to populate your CRM. You can use that to actually create a program for them. Like, for example, in our tracking software and our coaching app, we can create a program for them automatically there. There's all of these things that go on in the back end. It can add them to our email marketing CRM. And that way, when a new client joins, instead of me having to go to a bunch of different softwares and copy and paste all of this information, it just happens automatically. And even now, with having coaches who are working for me, I can have automatic assignment of those people who fill out the intake and questionnaire to their coach and relay all of that information to the coach that they're assigned to just by intelligently setting up those Zaps. So I feel like for me now at this level, managing a team, and even when I wish I knew about it when I was just working with 40 people on my own, but especially managing a team, Zapier has been huge.
You mentioned about having a team, and you said quite early on that you got a team of coaches to work for you. Am I right in saying that when you launched the online stuff, you pretty much got coaches to work with you pretty quickly? What was that process?
Yeah, so at the end of 2015, that's when I recognized, okay, this waitlist isn't actually feeding my client roster. And I just identified a few coaches in my network who I thought had the raw materials to actually be great nutrition coaches and deliver the experience that I was delivering to my clients. And so what I ended up doing, again, to go back to the systems, was I just went into Teachable. I used their free Teachable account, and I just created, using their learning management system, a pretty much training that took about 6 weeks. Took the coaches through that training, showed them exactly what the processes looked like, what the expectations were, how to use the different softwares like the CRM that we were using. And then after about 6 weeks of training, I just took a few people off my waitlist who were willing to take a chance on these new coaches. And I just pretty much mentored them through the process. I had them work directly with the client, and those coaches who I had hired and trained could lean on me for support anytime that something kind of went above their head. And yeah, it was really an important part of actually growing my business was to get that team in place. Because the other thing was, in terms of having the time to focus on client acquisition, I couldn't always be working in the business where I had to be coaching 40, 50 clients. So as soon as I hired other coaches, I was able to drop my client load from about 45 down to 30, and having cut my client load by that much, that's a substantial proportion of my total clients. And so I was able to put a lot more focus on marketing and client acquisition at that point. And that was really important, because if I was still working with 45, 50 clients, I wouldn't have had time for that. And I would be constantly working in my business instead of on it.
Yeah, I love that. I love the statement, working on your business versus working in it. Because like, you can get stuck in the day-to-day, just like on the deliverables too much sometimes, and it doesn't allow you any breathing space or time to grow. And it's great that you identified that so early on. Did you feel a little bit nervous about letting other coaches into your business when you first did it? So did you feel nervous about showing people the intricacies of how you deliver all your programs and how you service your clients and Did you feel a little bit like, oh, what if they take my business from me? Did that ever cross your mind when you hired them?
Big time. There was so much insecurity on my end at that point. It actually worked against me a lot too, having that insecurity in place, because I felt like, okay, if these coaches now have my system, then why wouldn't they just steal my clients, or why wouldn't they just take it and take clients on their own? And so I really still continued to work too much in the business because I was trying to pretty much own pieces of coaching their clients. That way they kind of needed me. And that's a really unhealthy way to build a team. So I didn't actually, when I first started out, build my team in the way that would be most effective. When I look back on that, you know, that's 5 years ago now, 4 years ago now, I just think, wow, the personal development I've had to go through in order to effectively lead a team without that insecurity has been massive. I definitely had a lot of fears bringing people in and opening up the kimono and showing people what my processes were that were working so well. And honestly, I even had coaches who, as my client roster grew and the first three coaches had wait lists, I started hiring and training coaches. And a few of them really broke my trust. And that was a really difficult pill to swallow. And I even, because I wasn't charging these coaches to go through that coach's development. And I even had two coaches who pretty much after I hired them, they seemed like they would be such good coaches for my company. They went all the way through the coaching development mentorship. And then we get to the end and all of a sudden they're just like, oh, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the right opportunity. I got a full-time job, whatever it happens to be. And I'm like, well, I just spent about 3 months developing you as a coach and I haven't made a single dollar off of it. Like you didn't coach any clients. And so I just wasted 3 months of my life developing you. But now I've reframed that, because now that I actually do that professionally, I mentor other coaches, it really helped me refine my process. So even though at the time I couldn't see the blessing in it, now when I look back retrospectively, it was really important for me to get those reps in developing and mentoring other coaches and just learning how to manage a team and that personal development that came with it as well.
Mm. We often get those biggest lessons in the setbacks that we receive, right?
Yeah, big time.
It's interesting now looking back. Have you changed that model where, like, if people are coming into your training, and I don't know if you're looking at hiring more people on the beyond macro side, but have you got some kind of commitment now in place where if they are going to go through that training that they have to commit to X amount of coaching hours off the back of it? Or how have you changed that since the initial way of doing it, if at all?
Yeah, so the way that I ended up changing that up is after I had two people back to back essentially flake out, and it put the business in a bit of a bad position because I had spent so much energy developing them. It put the business in a bit of a bad place, but not too bad. I still needed to get another coach in. And what I ended up doing was I thought, okay, I've got this really valuable service that I'm offering these coaches, even though in a sense I need them, I need to hire them and train them so that now I have another person on my team who can start generating revenue for the business. I recognize the value in the training that I was providing. So I set it up where they had to go through at least 1 month of coaching with one of the other coaches that I had hired so that they could understand what our process looked like as a client. So they had to pay for that. And they also had to pay to go through the coach's training. So they had to have some skin in the game. I had so many people reaching out to me who were like, hey, I just finished my precision nutrition level one. I'm struggling to find clients, but I saw your company. I really resonated with the message. Are you hiring? And the best filter was just like, yes, we're hiring. And here's the deal. You know, you've got to have some skin in the game. You've got to invest in your development. And if you're game with that, then we can go down that path. And I also said, I'm not guaranteeing that if you make it through this program that you are going to have a job on the back end. Like, you have to actually prove throughout that process that you would be one of the best coaches in the industry, because that's the only people I'm looking to hire. And so that allowed me to now put a system in place where I was no longer wasting my time if somebody didn't pan out. But I had these people who were already pre-qualified to be great coaches in a sense, because they were hungry, they wanted it, they were willing to put their money where their mouth was, go through that development program, and as long as they crushed it, end up with a job on the back end. And putting that system into place was so important, and it's actually led to where I've taken my business at this point. So I'm very happy and fortunate about some of those things that felt like misfortunes in the past.
And going back to that point, like, a lot of people will face like challenges or setbacks or feel like they've really lost out, like you did. You went through that experience where you coached one of these coaches for 3 months, and then on the back end, or there was two of them, I think you said, on the back end, and they didn't commit to anything with you. And you must have felt heartbroken, because like, you were doing good by them, and then they just turned around without any respect and just bombed you off. And we get these setbacks in business, and we don't always see them coming. And sometimes they're extremely painful, but then they serve as the biggest catalysts for doing things better the next time, if you learn from those lessons. Because a lot of people go out and repeat the same mistakes twice, but you've really been able to refine your process and made it much slicker and much in your favor off the back of that big setback. And that's, like you said, led you to where you are today. So we've got to take these setbacks as positives, as long as we respond in the right way. Because you can react and you can respond, and react would be emotional and just get bummed out about it. But it sounds like you responded and actually made a better business off the back of it, which is actually a blessing, right?
Exactly. And that's the personal development journey of an entrepreneur right there.
I'd love to switch gears into something that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago about your new projects with actually coaching other coaches to help them build their businesses. I'd love to unpack that, because we're very business-centric, business-loaded on this podcast. What is it that you're doing right now with coaches? And are these specifically nutritional coaches that you're helping with their businesses?
Yeah, exactly. I specifically work with nutrition coaches, and I want to be working with nutrition coaches who, well, it's not that I want to be, I'm working with nutrition coaches who want to be taking their business online, or who've tried to bring their business online and feel like they failed. And what I'm doing with those coaches is I'm essentially giving them the foundation for a sustainable online business, because it is much different than in person. So I essentially give them the blueprint for what it looks like to set up a one-on-one online coaching experience from start to finish. So, you know, what do you do when, how do you attract clients in? When you've got that client, how do you actually enroll them in your program? When they enroll in that program, how do you then onboard them? How do you then continue to nurture them? How do you increase your retention? When do you ask for referrals? How do you find referral sources that are non-client referral sources, and really just generate that sustainable business? So that's the foundation of what I'm teaching. And then from there, just teaching them what I've found works to attract clients online. It's really, for me, I feel like I'd be doing a disservice to people if I jumped straight to the growth strategies without putting that foundation in place. Because what I've found with nutrition coaching is that most people, because of the way that the industry speaks about nutrition, there's always this like 3 weeks to shred kind of thing. So with nutrition, there's always this finish line mentality. So it makes retention really difficult. And so I've found with my own business how to act is when people can get their clients to stick around for 6 months or more, have an infrastructure that really caters to that. And also, it's really important, one of the things I see most coaches getting wrong is pricing. If anybody's pricing themselves under $150 a month for those personalized services, then that mixed with low retention rates is a surefire way to keep nutrition coaching a side hustle for the rest of your life.
What do you think is the biggest challenge then for a nutritionist starting their business? Because I find this a lot with personal trainers that I coach on the gym floor, where they do their certifications, right? They do their level 2s, they do their level 3s, But then in those certifications, there's nothing practical about growing a business. So there's no real practical skill sets being taught on how to generate leads, how to take those leads and convert them into paying customers, how to price your services, how to retain customers. And so a lot of people coming into the industry and they get a bit of a shock when they hit the gym floor because they don't know how to track clients and grow their business. Is it the same for these nutritionists coming into the industry? Are they completely missing those skills?
Yeah, there's this Facebook group that I'm a part of for one of the certifications I've done. And a lot of the graduates are asking those what's next questions. They're asking those questions about how do I craft an offer? How do I price an offer? All of these different questions about the what's next after I've got the knowledge. And that's where most people struggle, is the what's next. How do I even begin in business? And then also the biggest struggle I see is the first five clients.
Cool. So in terms of that, like, let's just make it super practical for any nutritionists or even online coaches, because this is going to be applicable to them. How would they go about getting their first five clients? Where do people start? If they're starting from zero, they've got no online clients, where would they start? What would be the first steps you think they should take to get to that point where they get their first five?
Yeah, the first steps to starting an online coaching business is to start in person. And I've found that most people don't have a good idea about what their niche is. And the thing is, I don't think they're able to differentiate between whether or not they have a local niche or if they have like a personality niche, meaning, you know, for me, I had a local niche at first. I was the go-to guy at my CrossFit gym. We had over 500 members at the gym. I had established myself as an authority as the go-to guy for nutrition. And so my biggest base of clients came from the members of that gym and their friends and family who they referred to me. So originally I had a local niche. I was working with moms and dads, young professionals, competitive athletes. I was working with everybody. But then when I moved the business online, I started to realize, okay, I need to be identifying who's more of the personality niche that I'm looking to serve. So I think everybody should consider starting out online with, okay, what's my local niche? What's my in-person niche? What communities am I a part of? How can I serve them? How can I provide value, establish some authority, and ultimately turn these in this in-person network into clients that I can coach online? And then from there, you can start to actually get some context for what clients you like working with. And if I didn't have that context working in my local niche, so if I didn't have the context of working with the moms, the young professionals, the competitive athletes, the, you know, master's athletes, then I wouldn't know which niche to go after. Like who, like I wouldn't know who my ideal client is, because I just assume, oh, okay, like at this point in my life, I'm a competitor. So maybe I want to work with competitors. Maybe that's my niche. But I realized that that wasn't the people I enjoyed working with the most. So when I went online, having that context of working with people in person was really important. So the way that I, to be really practical about it, the way that I went about it is I just asked the owner of the gym, hey, can I do a one-day seminar? I'm going to give people some really practical tips, and then I just want to make sure it's okay with you that I present an offer at the end of it for joining my coaching program. And so I delivered a really high-value seminar for about an hour. At the end of that, I gave people what my coaching offer was, and I ended up having people come up to me after and take me up on it. So I think that's the best way to go about it. And especially for nutrition coaching, you can even think about like running through your contact list in your phone or your email, or think about anybody who's even asked you a question about nutrition or fitness, and just reach out to them and say something along the lines of like, hey, Alex, I'm looking to work with five people right now on their nutrition. I've created this program that, you know, X, Y, and Z. Is this something you'd be interested in? If so, you know, I'd love to chat a little further. And by doing that, ultimately, you should be able to find those first five clients. And that's what's going to give you that context to know who you want to continue working with. That'll provide you more referrals so you can start building your base of clients. And it'll just give you that cushion to be able to, especially if you can keep them around for 6 months, start putting some of those longer plays in, like the content marketing and things of that nature.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you started with your power base. That's very much how I started my own coaching business, very much in the same way that you just mentioned. So I started with my power base offline. And then when I started working with some of them offline, I then took that social proof and some of the other contacts that I created and then started coaching online. So it was almost like a hybrid and then a full transition to online, because it was kind of like the easiest steps to take versus just going to cold traffic online, right?
Yeah, going straight to cold traffic online is the biggest mistake. That's why, like I said, it would be a disservice if I allowed people to go straight into my growth program without putting them through the program to build that foundation, get those first five clients, and have the systems to actually serve people.
Here's another one as well, because I see this a lot on groups and forums and on Facebook ads. And I see a lot of like in-person coaches almost tear down the online coaching concept a lot of the time, where they'll go, how can you coach people online and get them results? So you've got like these two camps of people that see it from different paradigms, right? So you've got the offline guys who are like pure offline, and then you've got offline guys that have moved online or pure online guys, and they can see that you can get people results coaching them online. But I think there's this camp of people that can't wrap their head around the concept of coaching people online, and particularly with like fitness coaching, I suppose it's a little bit different with nutrition because you're not showing people form and exercise. But what would you say to those camps of people that are skeptical about this whole concept of coaching people online when they think it's an in-person experience that it should be delivered in?
Yeah, so there's just so many tools these days that make it easy to deliver that experience online. And the other thing is, right now, people, if you ask anybody, they think they're busy. And so online just makes things so much more convenient. And the other thing that I'm starting to notice too is that some of the things that I've, like the technical things that we might do, those things like programming and setting someone's macros and all of these different things that are just very technical, information-based, evidence-based, that's something that can be automated or something that artificial intelligence can eventually do. So ultimately, I think those people are afraid that going online means they're going to lose that personal connection and therefore lose the ability to really deliver value in that intangible way that they can in person. But the thing is, now there's so, so many opportunities to deliver that high degree of care and that intangible aspect that you can get with in-person coaching online. It's so easy to be able to record a video for somebody, send them that video, for them to actually see it in a timely fashion rather than having to schedule time with you to ask a question. It would be silly not to think about how you can use online tools. Like, if you don't like the internet or you don't like computers, that's okay. I get it. You know, I'm sure people can still do a good business in person, but even if you just dip your toes in the water and see how some of these tools can actually improve your processes, I think that those people would be able to start to see the value. So even when I was training people, I found that a lot of the richness in that and the reason that people kept coming back and back and back is because we could establish a rapport by just sending voice messages on like WhatsApp or even on iMessage. And so there's even those small little slices of technology that can improve your ability to relate to your clients, establish a solid relationship, and even continue to make sure that they're staying accountable to the changes that are in their best interest in between sessions. You know, if you notice, for example, you read something that you think is really important for your client to know, to be able to just send them a text message with a link. Like, that's using technology, that's using online tools to actually improve your client's experience. So I think it would be silly to say, you know, oh, online tools, that's bad, you know, that's stupid, you can't possibly use them to connect. You can use them to enhance your in-person experience as well.
Love that spin on it. And I want to almost talk about the double-edged sword to technology as well, because another conversation I was having yesterday, actually, and I see this all the time, and I'm sure you do as well, Matthew, people asking about what app they should use. And they're getting so caught up or hung up on the app that they should use to deliver the content online. And it's almost like analysis by paralysis, where there's so many apps. You've got Total Coaching, Trainerize, My PT Hub, True Coach. You've got all these different things that people can use. And so it's almost like overwhelm for a lot of people, but they're getting hung up on like the deliverables without even having a client to deliver anything to. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I actually saw John Berardi from Precision Nutrition. He made a post recently that talked about how they built this $200 million business on antiquated technology. Like, their email marketing software was this like legacy software that you probably couldn't even buy retail anymore. And they had just been using it for 11 years and never took the time to make the switch. They had so many things that just were old technology, but the thing is, they were still able to build a $200 million business because they got their offer right. You know, they knew what people wanted. They created a great product and a great service to actually deliver what people wanted, and they did a really good job of getting the word out. And so, you know, those are the most important things that you can do, is just develop an amazing VIP service that people get a jaw-dropping transformation because of. They can't help but tell their friends, you know, it makes them stick around longer, you get the referrals. It's not about the tools. The tools are helpful, no doubt about it. But, you know, if you look at Precision Nutrition as an example, you know, they didn't grow to $200 million because of the tools that they were.
Yeah, I love this point, because it's not really about the tech, because the people that you're speaking to don't really care how it is delivered. All they want is you to deliver the result. And how you choose to get that result is up to you. And if it's on spreadsheets, that's okay. If it's on True Coach, that's okay. But as long as what you're selling on the front end, you can deliver on the back end and get them the result and the outcome, then your client's going to be happy. They're going to stick with you and they're going to refer people to you. Right, Matt?
Exactly.
So in terms of what you're doing now over the next 12 months, it would be interesting to hear like what your focus is right now for your business is, because you've got Beyond Macros, nutrition coaching company, but now you're moving into more of the mentoring and training coaches. What's your kind of vision or goal for the next 12 months?
Yeah, so one really exciting thing is that the first coach that I hired, she's been so amazingly loyal and also such a boss when it comes to creating an amazing client experience. So I was actually able to bring her on as co-owner of the coaching business for Beyond Macros, and she's already taken a look at it and done so many things to improve client experience. So for me, on the Beyond Macro side of things, I'm really just looking to support her in terms of continuing to provide the best possible nutrition coaching experiences to all of our clients and make sure that she has everything she needs to lead that team of coaches that we have. And it's also good too, because I'm able to continue experimenting with different client acquisition strategies using Beyond Macros to see what works and what doesn't work, so that that feeds into what I'm able to teach people in my nutrition coaching mentorship. As far as the nutrition coaching development side of things goes, for me, it's, I want to see 120 coaches go through this program by April of 2020. I really think, based off of what I'm seeing in the industry, that it is exactly that what's next that people are missing after the certifications that they've done. Really provides that solid foundation of business. And eventually, you know, after they do the first 3 months of the program to build up their business, get those first five clients and really put the systems in place so that they've got long retention and lots of referrals, then there's another 3 month program that teaches them how to just absolutely drive as much traffic as possible of their ideal clients towards their business so that they too can be on a wait list. And for me, I really want to make sure that I get at least 120 people through the program, and I want all 120 of them to return their investment on the program multiple times over. For me, that's so important the reason that I want them to get their first five clients too is because that pays for the first half of the course. You know, I think that's so important, is, you know, especially with providing this business mentorship, as well as the coaching mentorship, that people should be able to see a return. Business is all about profit and return on investment. And so I want everybody who I work with to see a solid return on investment from working with me.
Yeah, I love that, man. And that resonates very much with the work that we do with personal trainers and coaches. Absolutely love what you're doing in the industry. And could tell that you've got a great moral compass when it comes to helping people and growing businesses and helping people get to where they want to be. So I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time with us. For anyone that wanted to find out more about your companies, can we give them some direction as to how they would get in touch or where you'd like them to go to find out more about what you do, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody who wants to get in touch, they can email me. It's matt@beyondmacros.com. Happy to chat with you over email. Anybody who is a nutrition coach, I do have a online nutrition coach community. So you can just shoot me an email and I'll send you an invite to that community. I go live every week in there with different trainings on how to build your nutrition coaching business. We have weekly accountability rituals in there to make sure that you're actually approaching every week intentionally with growing your business. And I think that's a great, great place to end up if you're an online nutrition coach. But yeah, if you're interested in checking out the different courses and mentorship that we offer, you can head to beyondmacros.com/certification, and that'll give you a rundown about what that course offering looks like.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.